no matter what the sport, where it's played, or the teams behind it. We've got it. This is the Water Boys.
Thanks to Tasmac, Devonport, Launceston, Bridgewater and Smithton, your local Massey Ferguson dealer.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Water Boys for another Super Saturday of Sport. Brent Costello with you alongside my great pal, Blairy Brownless. How are you, BB?
Yes, good morning, listeners, and good morning, Brenno. Big show today.
Big show ahead. We're all about the Socceroos this morning because it is a huge game coming up tomorrow morning. Can't wait to talk about that. We'll preview what's coming up in the show next, but firstly to some overnight scores. I know you've got the cricket there for us, BB.
Yes, Tassie team in a little bit of trouble. We'll hear from Peter Siddle very soon, but South Australia lead by 291 runs with one day to play, and they're only four down, so they'll build a big lead, and then can Tassie chase that total down? It'll be very tough going. And in the Australians, of course, we saw that, the Australians are really on top of the West Indies, and no surprise there. They lead by 344 with nine wickets to go. So you think that the Australians will win that first test against the West Indies?
Absolutely. NBL overnight, we had a big result, actually, with the Adelaide 36ers upstaging the Cairns Taipans by 3 points, 78-75 over there in Adelaide. And you got some golf for us too, Blair.
Well, the Australian Open, actually, new format this year, Breno, because both male and female players playing at the same time and also using two venues. They started Victorian Golf Club and Kingston Heath Golf Club. They alternate between the two venues, but no real surprise on top of the leaderboard. Adam Scott, 8-under, leads the charge in the Australian Open.
Very nicely done. As we forecast, a big show ahead of the Water Boys. We'll be right across the Socceroos. We're going to cross to Qatar and chat to Jared Walsh, who is the announcer in the stadium for the Socceroos. Can't wait to talk to Walshy later in the show. Also, Matt Bulkley, the Football Tasmania CEO, will join us as well. We're going to talk Jack Jumpers with Jared Weeks. They're off to Brisbane tomorrow to take on the Bullets. Also talk cricket with Peter Siddle, as you mentioned before, Blair. A big week for Tasmanian footy with four players drafted to the AFL. Jeremy Weberly, the coach of the Tasmania Devils, will join us. Georgia Baker was announced our Tasmanian Athlete of the Year earlier in the week. She'll join us as well. But up next, we're going to talk to the new Stadium's Tasmania Chair, Michael Maloof. He's just been appointed to that particular job, and he's going to tell us all about it next. That's coming up for you on the Water Boys right across Tasmania. Thanks to Tasmac, your local Massey Ferguson dealer.
This is the Water Boys.
Thanks to Tasmac, your local Massey Ferguson dealer. It is the Water Boys with Brent Costello and Blair Brownless for your Saturday morning. We've got a new appointment made in the world of Tasmanian sport yesterday. It is for Stadiums Tasmania, a newly formed authority to own, manage and facilitate the future development of Tasmania's major public stadium infrastructure. And the man that's been appointed to the top job is Michael Maloof, who's been good enough to join us on the show this morning. G'day, Michael. How are you going?
I'm very well. Good morning.
Thanks for joining us. Now, for those that don't know, what is Stadiums Tasmania all about, first of all?
Stadium Tasmania has been formed by the Tasmanian government to centralise ownership and management of a number of existing stadiums around the state. I believe it was an election commitment from the government a year or two ago, and I'm the first person appointed in Stadiums Tasmania, so I'm it at the moment. But I think the stadiums earmarked for us my State Bank Arena, Silver Dome, UTAS Stadium, Blundstone Arena, Dial Park, that's in Penguin. And at this stage, they're all potential transfers, I should clear. They've got to be negotiated and ultimately transferred upon agreement.
Fantastic. Now, you come to this role with a lot of experience, 30 years executive experience in public and private sector. You were the chair and trustee of the Cadinia Park Stadium Trust for 4 years, which I know Blair's keen to ask you about, and the CEO of Carlton between 2003 and 2007. So very well credentialed, Michael. Is this something you moved to the state for, or can you do it from afar?
I'll be spending undoubtedly a lot of time in Tasmania, and particularly at this stage. It's a set-up company, so it's very, very different from an established one. I'll be required to undertake a great deal of work, so I will spend a lot of time in Tasmania. And of course, the first task will be to appoint a board of directors to work with me, and then a CEO, and then the rest flows from there.
Michael, congratulations on the appointment. Now, does this mean, because all those stadiums that you mentioned, you'll be on the phone to, like, Foo Fighters managers and getting some really big bands down here, as well as the traditional sport that we'd love to see down here?
Yeah, I think ultimately the aim is to, and I'll say this right from the start, I think all of these arenas, I've visited some of them, and I know Launceston very well, so they're all very good arenas and they're all being managed very well. But I think the government's objective is to do exactly that, to centralise ownership, to apply a level of skill and finance that's not been possible in the past. And when that occurs, potentially you set yourself up better for national and international events. And if you can get one event, say, to Hobart, then you might be able to get that same, the Foo Fighters, to a Launceston. I understand recently Robbie Williams made some comments about coming to Tasmania. So the whole ambition is to improve the economic and social well-being of regional cities around Tasmania. But basically those stadiums I mentioned, they're earmarked at this point.
And we haven't even mentioned the new one, the multi-purpose stadium at Macquarie Point. That, when you've read about the plans about that, that must excite you.
Look, it does, but I have to clarify that the authority at this point is not earmarked to be involved in that stadium. That may change as it progresses, but it also very clear that the government will make decisions on that, and if Stadiums Tasmania does get involved, it would be to implement what the government wishes. But if I can look at it in a parallel sense from my background and experience, to get an AFL licence and an AFLW licence for Tasmania will be just an amazing thing, will be historic. And if you can leverage that with a world-class arena in a great location, then that will be transformational. And I think it is very exciting, but there's obviously a fair way to go for the government to realise that potential and get the federal government on board, as I understand. But it is exciting for everybody to be involved. And I think Stadiums Tasmania has attracted... I'm doing interviews now for the director's positions, and it has attracted great interest from a lot of high calibre people all around Australia.
Now, Michael, just another one from me. Your time down at Geelong, and you saw what stadium with Cadinia Park, the redevelopment of Cadinia Park to a world-class facility. You've seen the economic and social benefits that has brought a city of Geelong, which would be exactly like Tasmania, a one AFL team town.
Absolutely. I've lived in Geelong for 40 years almost, and have held several roles there, and the whole town ebbs and flows around the Cats winning and losing. I think the footy club undertook a bit of a task a number of years ago to keep the ground upgraded to the levels that's required for a stadium of that nature. And if it hadn't have done that, then the risk is that they may have had to move their home games to Melbourne. The amount of economic benefit that stadium brings to the Geelong region, 300,000 or 400,000 people in the region, then it's just an incredible benefit to have, and particularly in a big park, a big precinct like you've got in Cadinia Park, which has huge netball, has cricket. The ground now hosts, as we saw, the Foo Fighters recently. The new Stage 5, which is $130 million, I think, development will include special facilities for overseas entertainment to bring those big trucks in and unload. And so it's the centre of the universe, I think, for many people in Geelong. I mean, I described it yesterday as sort of being like a cathedral. and Blair, you'd know that how important that area is to the people of Geelong, and it's you can't imagine it not being there.
Well, Michael, as we said off the top, mate, you come to Tasmania with a wealth of experience, which is going to be absolutely fantastic for our great state. Thanks so much for talking to us on the Water Boys this morning. We really appreciate it, and good luck with the new role.
Thank you, Brent. Thank you, Blair. And, look forward to catching up at some stage. Thank you.
Absolutely. Look forward to it as well. Michael Maloof joining us, the new Stadiums Tasmania Chair, joining us on the Water Boys this morning. We've got lots more still to come for you on the program. Not too far away is Jeremy Webberley and Peter Siddle. But up next, we're talking to Tasmania's Athlete of the Year, cyclist Georgia Baker, joins us on the Water Boys. Thanks to Tasmac, your local Massey Ferguson dealer.
This is the Water Boys.
Thanks to our great friends at Tasmac, your local Massey Ferguson dealer. It is the Water Boys, Brent Costello and Blair Brownless on this Saturday morning, December 3rd, can you believe it, 2022. We are talking cycling on the show now because our next guest was this week named Tasmania's Athlete of the Year. Her name is Georgia Baker. She's had an incredible 12 months and Georgia joins us on the line now. Hey, Georgia, thanks for your time.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Thanks so much for joining us. Tasmania's Athlete of the Year, how does that sit with you?
Yeah, wow, definitely a little bit of a shock, but it's a huge honour. You know, especially to be on that honour roll along with some amazing other athletes. It's really special to me, and I've been a TIS athlete, like a Tasmanian Institute of Sport athlete, for a really long time. So, to be awarded this award means a lot to me.
Yes, congratulations, Georgia. It was wonderful to see, but it wasn't a surprise because you are coming off 3 gold medals at the Commonwealth Games.
Yeah, I know, but along the likes, I've had all the other finalists, you know, Eddie Ockerton, we had Ariana Titmus, Henry Yule, just to name a few. So they had some really good results this year.
Yeah.
Watching the video package, I was like, oh, actually, yeah, I haven't had it too bad of a year, so maybe I'll get it.
Yeah, no, I had you as red-hot favourite for it, Georgia. I think your efforts winning the 3 gold at the Comm Games was magnificent. Now, what's ahead there? Because you're racing overseas, which is massive, and the female Tour de France and the Paris Olympics, are they in your scope?
Yeah, definitely. Especially the Tour de France, like the Tour de Femmes for the women. It's something that is definitely on my radar. I didn't get a chance to race it this year, and it was the first year they had held the women's event. So I think that's really special. But yeah, definitely moving forward in my career, that's an event I really want to target, and not necessarily win, but maybe just some stage results would be great at a race like that.
Oh, it would be in the Paris Olympics too. That would be on your radar?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. The Paris Olympics feels like it's just next year, but a couple more years and, Paris will be at the door. So I'm really excited for that. It's going to be a really big program for me, but I think with everything that's happened this year, it's exciting.
Tasmania's Athlete of the Year, Georgia Baker, is our guest on the Water Boys this morning. Can you pick a highlight for the last 12 months? Is it one of those gold medals that particularly stands out for you, Georgia, or something else?
Yeah, I think one of the gold medals, definitely. I think the road race gold medal, I think there was a lot of planning that went into that gold medal. It was a really big team effort. You know, we sat down with the team months in advance to kind of plan how we were going to win. And I think to be able to pull it off for the girls and for Australia is really special. So that's definitely my highlight.
And just before we let you go, what's the short-term future look like? You're heading to the Christmas carnivals over the Christmas New Year period?
No, not this year. Actually, I haven't been asked to race any of the Christmas carnivals this year, but I would have liked to do a couple. But, I'm just going to be at home in Tassie still, training away. I'm racing the Bay Crits in Victoria, the Tour Down Under, the Australian Road Championships. I'm just going to be still racing the Australian Summer of Cycling and then heading off to Europe in February.
Fantastic stuff. We love everything you're doing right now. Congratulations on being named Tasmania's Athlete of the Year. And thanks so much for giving up your time for us on the Water Boys this morning.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
There she goes. Georgia Baker, an absolute star of Tasmanian sport, joining us on the Water Boys this morning. Plenty more still to come for you this hour on the show. Not too far away is Tasmanian Tigers paceman Peter Siddle. But up next, we are unpacking the AFL draft with the Tasmania Devils coach Jeremy Webberley. That's next on the Water Boys. Thanks to Tasmac, your local Massey Ferguson dealer.
This is the Water Boys.
Thanks to Tasmac, your local Massey Ferguson dealer. You are waking up with the Water Boys, Brent Costello and Blair Brownless. And this man now, who's had a very, very good week as the Tasmania Devils coach. He's seen four of his players drafted to the AFL. His name is Jeremy Weberly and he's on the line now. G'day, Jez.
G'day. Thanks for having me on.
It's made our day to get you on the line. It's magnificent to hear your voice. Now, you must be absolutely up and about. Four players drafted to the AFL. And how much credit are you personally taking for this, boys?
I'd like to take it all, but as we know, it's, I use the analogy during the week that it takes a village to raise a child. Well, it's sort of a bit like that with a draftee, to be honest. Like, there's so many people, I think, this week that should be... celebrating the achievement of getting four drafted. Like, it doesn't happen every year for Tassie. You know, we're only supposed to get 1.5 with our population demographic. So to get four is an outstanding achievement. Tasmania have really batted above their average again on this occasion. So I think as Tasmanians, we should be, and a lot of us should be, celebrating and making sure that we reflect on maybe a small part or a large part we've played within all four of the boys' journeys along the way.
Yeah, absolutely magnificent effort. For those that missed it, Lachie Cowan went to Carlton with pick 30, Tom McCullum to Port Adelaide, pick 36, and then we had Seth Campbell and Cam Owen go in the rookie draft as well. Do you have a favourite amongst that little foursome, Jez? The teacher's pet or anything?
Oh, come on.
Well, the other guy on the line might, but look, I was eyeing you, Lachie and Seth, for 12 months, but extremely impressed with those guys. Obviously, both outstanding characters and... both really well liked within our organisation with our playing team and had awesome years. So, both like Cam and Tom, I've had a lot to do with them over the course of the last 3 or 4 years. Obviously, coaching Clarence and being involved in the Devils for 12 months. So, yeah, to see both of those guys go was really exciting. But yeah, no favourites, unfortunately, mate. So we'll just say we're just over the moon with having four. And, we'll go from there.
Actually, Jez, the second night of the draft went to script, really. We thought Lachie Cowan would go around the 30 mark, and we thought Tommy might, McCullum that is, might go a little bit later. It almost went to script on the first night, do you think?
Yeah, I think so. I think Tom sort of went around where we all predicted. I thought Lachie slipped a little bit. I thought he'd be sort of early 20s. So that was a bit of a nervous way for him, but what a great way. Look, going to the club that you supported your whole life and your family's passionate supporters as well, look, that's a very cool story. I spoke to it about 5 minutes after his name got read out, and he said that Cripps had already been on the phone, so that was a bit of a shock to the system, I think, for Lachie. But yeah, I think you're right, mate. Look, yeah, maybe Lachie was a touch later, but... yeah, I think they're all sort of around the mark of what was going to be the case.
Yeah, exactly. And then the rookie draft was fantastic as well, as you said. So Seth Campbell off to Richmond, and Cam Owen, the 203-centimetre ruckman forward, off to Sydney Swans. That was fantastic news.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, Seth pre-draft was always sort of... he had a lot of interest. We thought he was a very, very strong chance to go in the national draft. Didn't quite get that opportunity, but was picked really early on by Richmond, so keeping that sort of Richmond Tasmanian flavour, which is great. Seth's a very much a Richmond type player. He's got really good leg speed and tackle pressure, and he's a dangerous small forward, so I think he'll fit into their system really well. And another one of your boys, Blair, from GYC, the Footy Factory, as you call it, in Cam going to Sydney. That's an awesome result. Look, Cam had a slower start to the year, had a back complaint. Look, he's a developing tall. He's going to be 3 or 4 years away, but he's got all the tools to make a really good AFL career. So, there's a fair bit of work to go under the bridge with Cam, but he's probably gone to the right club in the Swans. I'm sure they'll do the work, and they'll produce a really good player.
Exactly. So incredible. So really well done, Jez. Four drafted this year. It was fantastic. Now, you had a massive workload this year. You actually coached the boys' team and you also coached the girls' team, which was great because there's a lot of talent in the girls' team as well. But I noticed that you guys are putting on a new girls' coach, academy coach, and I think you're prepared to announce it on this very show, Jez. I think there's been a very recent appointment.
You love throwing people under the bus, don't you, Blair? But I'll keep my cards close to my chest. We have got someone that we've got in mind, and we have selected, but we're just in the process of of HR at the AFL, but we'll have an announcement soon. Yeah, but we're really excited to have the individual on board. We think that she, there's a giveaway, we think that she's going to be awesome for our program. And look, to be honest, yes, my workload was big this year, but I love the girls' program. And we obviously had the three drafts as well, two to GWS and one to Gold Coast, all three played. And Madison Brassendale had an outstanding year for the GWS Giants, and she actually won their Rising Star, which was an awesome achievement for her.
Jez, before we let you go, what's the crop next year look like coming through, particularly for the guys, I suppose? Is it going to be as good as this year?
There's one from GYC you probably want to mention, Jezza.
Yeah, GYC, yeah. Yeah, look, we've it's to be honest, Brent, if we looked at it right now, we had a lot of known talent this year. We had some 19-year-old content that just missed out in the draft last year, so this time last year, we were very content with where we're at because of knowing content. We may be a little bit younger this year, but we've got some really exciting prospects. Obviously, Jack Callanan, as Blair is mentioning, he's a really exciting talent. He's in the National Academy, along with Colby McKercher, who had an outstanding year, played through the Allies. Both of those boys played in the Futures Games, and both of those boys are part of the National Academy run by Tark and Lockie, which is essentially the best under 17-year-olds in Australia, the best 30 that go into the academy. So they're a part of that program. So that's a really good achievement for those guys and highlights their talent. We've got Ari Schoelmaker, who played in the Futures game before the AFL Grand Final this year. So he's a running defender, great left foot kick, a player from Launceston. So he's another guy that's got some real draftable talent. But there's also a number of guys through our under-16s this year that we're really looking to blood in the NAB League next year. So we could be a little bit younger, but I'm really excited about the talent that we have around the state at this stage.
Well, it hurts me to say, because I like taking the PI55 out of you, but I've got to be nice to you for a second to say, well done. You've done a magnificent job, as you know. As you tell us, you've done a great job. But no, well done, mate, in all seriousness. Congratulations on a magnificent year, and thanks very much for chatting to us this morning. Appreciate it.
No worries, mate. I'll make sure I get a recording of this script just so I can replay that back to you every night before you go to bed. So thanks for that, guys. Thanks for the support.
Fantastic.
Jeremy Weberly, the coach of the Devils, joining us after a magnificent draft haul this week for Tasmania. Don't go anywhere. Lots to come in hour two this morning of the Water Boys. We're going to focus on soccer. Socceroos' big game against Argentina tomorrow morning. That's high on our agenda. Also, Jared Weeks from the Jack Jumpers will join us. But up next, we're talking cricket with the great Peter Siddle here on the Water Boys, right across Tasmania. Thanks to Tasmac, your local Massey Ferguson dealer.
This is the Water Boys.
Well, thanks to Tasmac, your local Massey Ferguson dealer. It is the Water Boys with Brent Costello and Blair Brownless this morning. We are talking cricket on the show now. Tough day for the Tasmanian Tigers at Blunston Arena yesterday in day two of their Sheffield Shield clash against South Australia. All out for 149 with the bat, but this man, our next guest, did a wonderful job with the ball in the first innings against the Redbacks. His name is Peter Siddle, and he's joining us on the line now. G'day, Sids. Welcome to the Water Boys.
Good morning.
Mate, 4 for 59 in that first innings. You just keep getting it done with the ball. How are you feeling? How's the body going at this part of the season?
Yeah, the body's a bit tired. I think, yeah, it's obviously the last game before Big Bash. We've had a big start to the year, so it's been plenty of cricket played. Yeah, the body's a little bit sore, but hopefully, you know, hold up again for one more day, and we can get a few quick wickets this morning and try and get back into this game.
Yeah, so South Australia 4 for 111 stumps on day two, and that means they've got a lead of 291 runs with 6 wickets in hand in their second innings. How do you go about it today, mate? You kind of forecast it there, but some quick wickets this morning, hopefully, and then get back in there and try and chase those runs down.
Yeah, that's the ideal scenario, but I guess, yeah, try and get these wickets as quick as we can for as little runs as possible. Yeah, is the plan. So try and restrict those runs early, build a bit of pressure, get the wickets, and then whatever set, we have to go about trying to chase it down, whatever the number. But, it's going to be a big ask, but I think, yeah, if we can get it right this morning, we can at least give ourselves half a chance to going forward and trying to win this match.
Yeah, Sid, you must be love bowling with your fellow pace bowlers there. You've got Jackson Bird, who's taken four wickets in this innings, Riley Meredith, and then you had Ellis that's just rested on this game. Your fast bowling quartet down here in Tassie has been the wonderful little team there.
Yeah, it has. We've got some nice steps with our fast bowling, which is good, especially that everyone's pretty much fit. You've got Sam Rainbird and Gabe Bell as well. Mm. On the sidelines, not playing, and then obviously the young Loz, Neil Smith, that also played a few games last season and did well. So I think depth is there, which is great. I think it's a good way to put pressure on the boys and make sure that we stay on song. But obviously the first one you spoke of there, Birdie, still doing it as well, and got four crucial wickets last night for us. To start this second innings off. So hopefully, we can back him up this morning and go about taking a few more.
Now, Sids, I did a little bit of research. You're 38 years old and you're in wonderful nick. You're still bowling beautifully. But are you having like a midlife crisis in that with the hair, the beautiful dyed hair that you're going with at the moment? What's the go with that?
It's around Big Bash time, mate. So
yes.
It's the last couple of seasons I've bleached it for the Big Bash. That's always a bit of fun and the young kids love it. just in preparation, mate. It's all about the process and just prepping. I leave on Wednesday after this game, so I had to make sure I got it in before I took off. So all ready and raring to go to get in the striker's blue.
Geez, your preparation is outstanding, isn't it? You get the hair right. It's not only about the bowling and everything else, is it? You got to get the hair right. But in all seriousness, your Big Bash form has been outstanding the last couple of years.
Yeah, it's a format that I've always loved. It's probably early doors when the Big Bash started. I didn't really get a lot of opportunities to play, just being around the Australian setup and test cricket and everything, but it's been the last pretty much since I've moved to Adelaide. I've been able to play pretty much the full allotment of games, and you just develop new skills and get a lot more consistent with it. And like I said, it's a format I do really love. It's exciting, it's entertaining, it brings the crowds, the young kids love it. Everything about it is just entertainment and fun, and that's why I play the game. And looking forward to getting back into it this summer, and hopefully things have cleared up a bit, so the fans will be back and supporting the teams. It's going to be exciting.
Peter Siddle was our guest on the Water Boys this morning. Sids, want to ask you about the test match too, because Australia are pretty comfortable lead at the moment, 344 runs with 9 wickets in hand in their second innings. Day one of a test, the juices get flowing. Do you wish you're out there still playing for the Aussies?
Nah, not really. Like, obviously, I love playing for Australia, but I think, I've had my time. I know how much it hurts the body these days. So when you think back of things like that, it makes it hard. But, you did love walking out there after Becky Green walking on the field ready to start a test match. Is always a huge buzz. But, I just enjoy, just keeping an eye on the boys, seeing how they're going. And, they started the test match beautifully, so big day today to see how they can move forward in the game and see where their match ends up.
Now, before we let you go, mate, and Blairy, I want to clear something up here.
Yes.
Because when I go to the Jack Jumpers game, Sids is there courtside with his Jackie's hat on. He's got all the gear. And then I'm at John Cain Arena last Saturday night, and I run into the great man. I don't know if he had a Melbourne United hat on, but he's always there courtside. So, Sids, right here, right now, who do you support in the NBL, please?
Get this right.
It just depends which state I'm in, doesn't it?
South Australia as well.
That's what I was about to say. I end up over in Adelaide for a couple of months during the Big Bash, so I tend to get to a fair few of their games too. But all in all, I'm a sports lover. I love all sports. Basketball was my favourite sport growing up. But love the Jackies, love Melbourne United. Enjoy supporting the 36ers as well when I'm there. So just an NBL lover.
And corporate ticket lover too, Sids. Whoever's providing the corporate tickets.
I'm just a good dog supporter.
Oh, very good. A quick one for me. I tell you where you wouldn't want to be bowling, Peter, as well. You wouldn't want to be bowling in Pakistan over there, would you? What about England? They amassed 506 for 4 of 75 overs. How would you go bowling over there?
I think I'd turn to some spinners, I reckon. By the looks of it, the fastballs weren't working, so I might as well try a bit of spin as well. But that was
that was unbelievable, that. That first day of cricket, they went off because of bad light, and then came back out overnight, and, you know, they off their they end up batting for 100 overs. They were 660 all out of 100 overs. So, like, yeah, it's crazy numbers. It's aggressive cricket. So, yeah, it makes it exciting for, obviously, you know, moving forward a bit. 6 months' time, it's the Ashes. So, it's yeah, there's going to be a lot of things that the Aussies will have to look forward to and look at and see what's going to happen.
Well, mate, we really appreciate your time, particularly on game day when you're about to start day three of the Sheffield Shield match over there at Blunstone Arena. Thanks so much for talking to us, and good luck too with the Big Bash coming up with the Strikers. All the best over there. Not too much all the best, particularly against the Hurricanes, but we hope you do well, mate.
Cheers, guys. Thank you very much. Chat soon.
Peter Siddle, the great man, joining us on the Water Boys this morning. And we always do appreciate these legends, Tom, particularly on game day when they're trying to prepare to get out there for day three of a Sheffield Shield game. All right, we've got plenty more still to come after new sport and weather in extra time of the Water Boys this morning. We're going to have the next winner of our Good Sport Award. We're going to look at soccer. Big, big, big time, because we are in on the edge of a big, big game tomorrow morning involving the Socceroos in Argentina. And also Jared Weeks from the Jack Jumpers will join us. That's all after new sport and weather here on the Water Boys this morning. Thanks to Tasmac, your local Massey Ferguson dealer.
No matter what the sport, where it's played, or the teams behind it, we've got it. This is the Water Boys.
Thanks to Tasmac, Devonport, Launceston, Bridgewater and Smithton, your local Massey Ferguson dealer.
Big first hour of the Water Boys this morning, but we have got lots more still to come here in extra time. Before we get to what's coming up, some scores from overnight. Blair, you got the cricket for us?
Exactly right. The Australians are on top against the West Indies. No surprise there in the first test. They've got 9 wickets left and they lead by 3-4-4. So a big win coming to Australia over the West Indies, but not so good news for our Tassie team in the Shield game against South Australia. South Australia lead by 291. They've got 4 wickets. They're only 4 out, so they'll build a big lead today, and can Tassie get in and chase that down? We're not sure about that one.
We'll wait and see. NBL last night, it was a 3-point win to the Adelaide 36ers at the Adelaide Entertainment Centre over the Cairns Taipans, 78-75. And you got some golf for us too, BB.
Well, the Australian Open, new format this year, both male and female players playing at the same time, and 2 courses, Victorian Golf Club and Kingston Heath Golf Club. The big news is Cam Smith missed the cut, actually, and he came back to Australia particularly for this event and missed the cut. But Adam Scott, 8-under, leads the male competition, and in the female competition, Hannah Green, 11-under, leads that one.
Very nice. As I said off the top, we're focusing on soccer this hour because the big game tomorrow morning between Australia and Argentina. We're going to talk to Jared Walsh, who's the Socceroos announcer. He is on the ground in Qatar. Can't wait to talk to Walshy. Matt Bulkley, the Football Tasmania CEO, will join us too later in the hour. But up next, we're going to talk Jack Jumpers with Vice-Captain Jared Weeks joining us here on the Water Boys. Thanks to Tasmac, your local Massey Ferguson dealer.
This is the Water Boys.
Thanks to Tasmac, your local Massey Ferguson dealer. It is the Water Boys, Brent Costello and Blair Brownless, for your Saturday morning. And we are talking basketball on the show now because the NBL season is well and truly in full swing now. Our Jack Jumpers are 6 wins and 6 losses to start the season, a 50-50 record, which is magnificent considering all the travel we've had to do so far. And one man that's been a big part of the start of the season is the Jack Jumpers vice-captain, Jared Weeks, who's been good enough to join us this morning. How are you, Weeksy?
Doing very well, Brent. How you doing?
We're very well too, thank you, mate. Thanks for joining us early on a Saturday. And you're off to Brisbane today, which is unbelievably exciting. They're coming off the back of a big win against Perth a couple of nights ago. So looking forward to this one tomorrow afternoon?
Yeah, absolutely. It's going to be a pretty big test. You know, Brisbane obviously had that slow start to the season, but I think, you know, they've won 4 of their last 6. And they've got some very talented guys over there. And when they're in this arena, they play with a lot of confidence. So big game for us coming up on Sunday.
Yeah, change of coach for them as well, which we know does different things to different teams. So certainly will be a challenge. But as we said, you've had a magnificent start to the season, considering all the travel you've had to do, twice to New Zealand, to Perth, to Adelaide, to Brisbane tomorrow, 3 times to Melbourne, I think. So to be sitting 6-6 isn't too bad at this stage of the season, probably.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when you put the travel in the schedule, just like you said, it seems, you know, pretty bad. But, you know, every game's tough in this league. And, you know, to be 6-6 right now, we know we've let a few games slip away. But we're on to the next one. And we've got a good focus on Brisbane. And hopefully we can just go up there and get those guys.
Now, Jared, just want to talk about your role coming off the bench, because I feel like you, when the team needs a little bit of a spark, Scotty Roth throws you in there and says, look, Jared, just land a couple of threes for us.
It'd be nice if you could just push a button and that would happen. But, yeah, managing to shoot the ball out this year, and hopefully that continues. Obviously, all the guys have been working on that this year, and, you know, it's coming up pretty well. We're lucky enough to have the guys that we do, like Jet and Doyle, that just, you know, drawing a lot of attention away from us other guys, and, yeah, managed to put some shots in this year.
It must be hard to get on the court because you've got so much depth on the bench, and they all have an impact when they come on and play.
Yeah, I think that's one of the biggest strengths of our team. I think we have, you know, the deepest bench in the league. For us to have a guy like Sean to come in as a development player and play huge minutes with Vital Times, and, you know, he's going to be a tremendous player going forward. You know, in a couple of years, he's still a very young man, and in a few years I think he'll be starting for an NBL team. So to have that luxury to, you know, be able to pick guys, you know, 1 through 12 and play them in big times and big games is a huge luxury for us.
Now, Jared, I was looking into your fixture and I noticed on Boxing Day, 6:30 p.m. versus the Breakers, who are top of the table, My State Bank Arena. Now, we've had some great atmosphere at that venue. Boxing Day, that's going to be huge, that game, don't you think?
Oh, it's going to be absolutely massive. You know, we're always excited to play in front of our fans. It's been a bit of a stretch recently with away games, so, you know, they haven't been able to see us in a little while, which, you know, we're looking forward to get back to in the back end of December. And obviously New Zealand have got us three times, but, you know, we're working every day for that grand final appearance. And, you know, they're a very good test. They're playing very good basketball right now. And, yeah, we're going to be well prepared, but a few games to go before then.
Weeksy, before we let you go, the depth of this team is incredible, really. I watched the game last weekend in Melbourne, and Melbourne obviously got a really good starting five, but probably drop away a little bit after that. But as we said before, anyone on the bench can come in and do a role for our team, and we bat really deep. Do you think that's the secret to success in the NBL, having that depth on the bench?
Oh, absolutely. Like I said, it's a huge luxury for us. You know, there's no drop-off. You know, our bench squad we talk before every game, and, you know, our role is to increase the energy and increase the defensive pressure. So, you know, it's no secret that we're a defensive-based team, and that's what we hang our hat on. So, you know, we come in and we try and do the little things, and to be able to come in and back those starters up is something we really are proud of.
Well, mate, you're in vintage form at the moment. You keep getting better and better with age. Love watching you go about it. All the best up there against the Bullets tomorrow in Brisbane, and we thank you for joining us on the Water Boys this morning.
No worries. Thanks, boys.
On you, Jared. Jared Weeks joining us on the Water Boys ahead of the big game between the JJs and Brisbane up in the Sunshine State tomorrow from 4 o'clock. Get around and support the boys via KO or ESPN. Plenty more still to come on the show this morning. We are turning our attention to soccer for the next couple of segments because the Socceroos have a massive game against Argentina tomorrow morning. Firstly, we're going to chat to Jared Walsh, who's the Socceroos announcer on the ground in Qatar, and then Matt Bulkley, the Football Tasmania CEO. That's all coming up for you here on the Water Boys right across Tasmania. Thanks to Tasmac, your local Massey Ferguson dealer.
This is the Water Boys.
Thanks to Tasmac, your local Massey Ferguson dealer. It is the Water Boys with Brent Costello and Blair Brownless for your Saturday morning. We are now turning our attention to the world game because Socceroos fever has taken over the country, of course. We can't wait until 6 tomorrow morning for Australia and Argentina. And one man that will be there live is Australia's premier ground announcer, Jared Walsh, who's looking after the Socceroos over there in Qatar. And Jared's been good enough to join us this morning. G'day, Jared. Thanks for joining us, mate. And you must be having the time of your life over there at the moment.
Water Boys, good evening from Qatar. I just need to say it's an absolute pleasure to be speaking to the voice of Tasmanian sport and the more famous Brownless brother. So thank you very much.
You've won us over.
And you've got a big lineup today as well.
He started well, hasn't he?
We do, mate. How is it over there on the ground? Because as we said, you're looking after the Socceroos over there. You must be just having the best experience of your life at the moment. For those that don't know, just tell us about your role at the moment.
Yeah, so I was asked by Football Australia to head over and give a home match experience for the Socceroos. So basically I'm staying with an MC from every nation that is being represented by their team in the FIFA World Cup, which is awesome. So I'm the match day MC for the Socceroos at home in Australia, and it's been brilliant. So we've been playing Australian music, doing Australian chants and things like that. So it's been really surreal, boys. And to be honest with you, I thought I was going to be going home after the game against Denmark the other night. But thanks to Matthew Leckie and a brilliant performance in defence from Harry Suter and some tactical stuff done by Graham Arnold, which I'm not sure if you've seen it circulating on social media. We were lucky enough to get a little bit of information from the Danish side. It's a wave of emotion that we are riding, but we face a team from Argentina where Leo Messi's playing his 1,000th professional football match, and he wants to obviously lead his team into the quarterfinals. So it's going to be a challenge, but I think the most exciting thing is that we've come this far. We're not here just to make up the numbers, and it's all in front of us.
What's the atmosphere been like, Jared, there? We know they've got magnificent stadiums there. What about the actual atmosphere and the crowds getting into it?
The atmosphere has been great. The France game that we scored that first early goal to Craig Goodwin was good, and then France kind of flexed the muscles a little bit. The match against Tunisia was the loudest that I've been at when it comes to any match of football, because the Tunisian fans were crazy, so it was nice to keep them quiet a little bit. But you'd probably say that the match against Denmark was quite quiet. I feel that there was a lot of nerves from both sides because both sides needed to win to get through. So that was the most I've seen Australia supported in terms of crowd numbers at that match. I feel there's a little bit of unknown about what's going to happen tomorrow night local time, because I think a lot of Australians have probably booked their flight home already, assuming we're not going to get out of the group stage. So it'll be interesting to see how many of the Green and Gold Army are there. I can tell you what though, Argentina are one of the most heavily supported teams. The Argentinian fans just go anywhere to support their team. So, look, our backs will be against the wall, but that's been our whole kind of mantra, that we're here and anything can happen. And we've seen in some of these results over the past few days that magic can happen in the FIFA World Cup, and we haven't stopped, so we're prepared to create some more magic tomorrow night.
Yeah, let's hope so, because I'm looking forward to the big match-up, the big forwards, Messi versus Leckie. That'll be fantastic, but we wouldn't think we'd say we'd see that match-up. But you're right, and I also heard that the Australians were, the organisers had actually organised that the Australians would be leaving at this stage, and their hotel was going to be evacuated.
Yeah, and that's kind of the mentality that a lot of fans have had too. I mean, there hasn't been much confidence instilled in the Socceroos side from the qualifiers through to our farewell match against New Zealand a few weeks ago to right now. And I feel that that's kind of been a little bit of a motivation as well for Graham Arnold and the boys. They've been written off by so many, and there's been some elements of accuracy by the press when it comes to the noise surrounding selections and tactics. So I feel now, while the eyes of the nation, and I'd like to say as well the world, like, it's really popular to wear a Socceroos shirt around Doha at the moment, because I think we're everybody's second favourite team. So I feel that the Aussie spirit and hearing Graham Arnold just yell out to the boys, dig in the last 5 minutes of that match against Denmark, that's been a theme where we've been continuing. And most importantly, we've managed to make this round of 16 by winning a match and not relying on another result. So that speaks volumes. The first time it's happened since 2006. And as I said, the boys mean business. They're going to be fatigued, but they're going to give it their all tomorrow.
And the final one from me, Jared. Any match day advice on the emceeing for Brent Costello? Because you're obviously the master. You're on the world scene there. And we've got Brent down here just battling away.
No, he's good, mate. I've worked with Brent before at the JJ's, and I know that you've got Jared Weeks on the show. And look, you've got a man love from Jack McVay from the Jack Jumpers as well. So I would just like to say Jimmy and Nate need to watch their back, because I've seen Brent, the voice of sport in Tasmania. Now, I'm a Tassie boy as well. I grew up in Kingston. So to see this happen, I think, is absolutely outstanding. And I'll tell you what, mate, I'm looking over my shoulder as well.
Sucked in again, Blair. That's backfired on you beautifully, which is always good. Now, Jared, you did mention you grew up in Tasmania. Of course, your old man's Peter Walsh, who
our
listeners would know from the ABC. So, yeah, you have strong links with the state, you and your family.
No, I certainly do, and it's always a joy to come back to Tassie and, you know, just to experience as an adult as well. I've got a really good connection with Hobart, and even I love seeing the rise of basketball in Tasmania once again. You know, I said to you, Brent, when I saw you over 12 months ago, I was lucky enough to be there for the Jack Jumpers first game. I was there for the Tassie Devils last game at the Derwent Entertainment Centre, and I've lived in Adelaide for over 20 years now, and the 36ers had a great win only a few hours ago. But for me, to see Tasmania shine, I'm totally on board this AFL side, and anything that good that comes from Tasmania, I'm just holding on to the fact that the one Prady stays open and Legs and Breasts keeps on making great chicken and chips. That's all what I'm about. And I still go to the shops in South Australia and get that Cascade Apple Isle. Beautiful. So that's still my go-to.
Oh, fantastic stuff, mate. Yeah, you're a star, Jared Walsh. Really appreciate your time, mate. I know it's late over there in Qatar at the moment. I think it's about very late. We won't go into the time, but we do appreciate your time on the show this morning. Good luck tomorrow, mate. We all envy what you're doing over there. It must be absolutely magnificent. Thanks for joining us on the Water Boys this morning.
I'm going to keep listening because I heard you got Peter Siddle on the show. He's a good mate of mine, so I want you to stitch him up and tell him that I love him.
We'll do that. Jared Walsh, there he goes. Thanks so much for joining us on the Water Boys. Doing a great job over there in Qatar, revving up the crowd and the Socceroos fans over there on the ground. We've got plenty more still to come on the show this morning. And not too far away, we're going to announce the next winner of our Good Sport Award, thanks to McDonald's. But up next, the soccer talk continues with Matt Bulkley, Football Tasmania CEO. That's next here on the Water Boys, right across Tasmania. Thanks to Tasmac, your local Massey Ferguson dealer.
This is the Water Boys.
Thanks to Tasmac, your local Massey Ferguson dealer. It's the Water Boys, Brent Costello and Blair Brownless for your Saturday morning. We are continuing the soccer talk on the show now because, as we just spoke with Jared Walsh, all roads lead to Qatar tomorrow morning for the Socceroos taking on Argentina. I wanted to get a perspective of what it will do for the local game here in Tasmania. That, of course, is the Socceroos success. And joining us on the line now to have a chat about it is the Football Tasmania CEO, Matt Bulkley. Welcome back to the Water Boys, Matt.
Thanks, guys. Great to be here.
Tell us, mate, what is this Socceroos stardom, I suppose, doing for the sport here in Tasmania? You can certainly expect a spike in participation, can't you, off the back of this?
Absolutely right, Brent. Yeah, look, we always see a spike for men's and women's World Cups. But, you know, in this environment, when we've progressed to the round of 16, which is obviously the first time since 2006 and only the second time ever, you know, we would expect an even greater spike. And given the timing of this World Cup, which is the first winter Northern Hemisphere World Cup, it will work well in that it will pretty much lead straight into our season.
It will, Matt. It will lead straight into the season. But you've always had massive junior numbers, haven't you? It's more about facilities across the state.
That's right, yeah. So we've got, I mean, in somewhere like Central Hobart alone, we've got about 1 in 3 kids under the age of 9 plays our sport, which is fantastic. And as you said, as we retain them into youth and senior, that's where there's particular pressure on facilities. So, you know, we continue to focus on that. But one of the great things that this will do is it will encourage more people to both choose our game but also stay in our game, because they can really see the, you know, the unique opportunities that probably only football can bring in terms of this, you know, global stage that we're now on.
It certainly is the world game. But just back on your facilities as well, I noticed that KG5, your headquarters there, new artificial turf going down?
That's exactly right, yeah, and it's very close. It's probably only maybe a week or so away, I think, from the pitch itself being finished, and it looks really great. Then, of course, we'll be hopefully, I think, straight into the lights, so the new lights will be erected, and then during the course of next year there'll be some construction work which will involve a renovation of the existing facilities and also some new change rooms. So we're pretty excited about that, and, yeah, and the new pitch itself, as I said, looks great.
Matt Bulkley, the Football Tasmania CEO, is our guest on the Water Boys this morning. Matt, what about Nat Atkinson? I know he hasn't played the last couple of games due to injury, but how exciting was it to have Tasmania's first Socceroo at a World Cup? It must be magnificent to be able to hang your hat on that from a Football Tasmania perspective.
Oh, look, it's massive, Brennan. You know, obviously his journey was like, you know, every other kid in Tassie, I guess, in a football sense, in that he started in a junior environment, which was Riverside Olympic, and then he was involved in the Football Tasmania State programs at the time. and then obviously sort of started his journey over in Melbourne, and then, you know, the rest is well documented. But it's, I think it's wonderful when you think about, you know, the relative size of Tasmania in a football sense to the broader Australian landscape. The fact that we've got a player in the 26-man squad who started in the first game, I think it's wonderful. It just shows all Tasmanians what's possible, girls and boys, if you work hard, that you can get these opportunities. And look, you know, I thought he did very well. I mean, he was up against probably one of the best players in the world at the moment, who in his next game scored 2 goals. So, you know, let's hope he gets back soon, back from injury, and hopefully we can continue to progress.
And as we let you go, Matt, obviously a live site's been set up for tomorrow. I must say I was at Fed Square last Saturday night for that win against Tunisia, and it was absolutely magnificent, the atmosphere there. So if we can even recreate a quarter of that at home, it'd be magnificent. So just tell us and the listeners where they can get to watch the game tomorrow morning.
Yeah, so there's a bit of information on the Football Tasmania Facebook site, but certainly the rest point are opening up tomorrow morning. I believe it's in the plenary area, but if people would just want to check on our Facebook site, there's more details there. And Devonport City Council are also facilitating a live site up there, which I believe is in the public area next to the Parramatta Centre. But again, people just double check the details, and obviously it's a 6 a.m. start. And let's hope that we knock over Argentina. We've had pretty good success over the years against South American teams, so let's hope we have good success tomorrow.
Absolutely, mate. Well, magnificent stuff for the World Game here in Tasmania. There's no doubt that this will be huge for us here in Tasmania, the Socceroos' success. So thanks for jumping on and having a chat to us on the Water Boys about it this morning.
Thanks for having me, gents.
Matt Bulkley, Football Tasmania CEO, joining us on the program. Not too far away, we're going to announce the next winner of our Good Sport Award here on the Water Boys. $100 to spend at Intersport for the winner. That's after this here on the show. It's Brent Costello and Blair Brown that's with you this Saturday morning. Thanks to Tasmac, your local Massey Ferguson dealer.
This is the Water Boys.
Thanks to Tasmac, your local Massey Ferguson dealer. We are almost at the end of a big Water Boys show for this morning. But before we go, let's do this.
Who's been doing the hard yards this week? Thanks to McDonald's, it's time to announce the next winner of the Water Boys Good Sport Award.
This, of course, is where we get to look after someone doing a wonderful job in the local sporting community. They win $100 to spend at Intersport thanks to Macca's, and, of course, more juicy 100% Aussie chicken is more. Tuck into a double McChicken at Macca's today, available after 10:30 a.m. Blairy, who's our winner this week?
The winner this week is Billy Pushka. He's 11 years old. He swims for Sandy Bay Swim Club, began competitive swimming aged 9, recently awarded the most improved swimmer at the awards night. Now, he's represented Tasmania in Brisbane in August earlier this year. His favourite stroke is breaststroke. I hate that stroke. It's my worst stroke. Individual medley as well, which is a tough event. Recently competed in the Burnie 100 meet, where he picked up 2 medals, and his mum actually won the chocolate raffle, which is fantastic. And Billy wants to represent Australia at the Brisbane Olympic Games in 2032. So well done, Billy Pushka. You're our winner.
Very, very well done, Billy. You win $100 to spend at Intersport. Thanks to McDonald's, quarter pounder patty times 2. Grab a double quarter pounder at Macca's today, available after 10:30 a.m. And if you'd like to nominate someone for our Good Sport Award, head to the website of the station you're listening to us on right now and nominate them. It could be a player, a coach, a volunteer, anyone doing a wonderful job in the local sporting community. That brings us to the end of a very, very big show, Blair Brownless. So what's on for your weekend, please?
Well, this weekend I'm out on the boat fishing, actually. The sun's finally come out, so a very quiet weekend for me and fish. I'll bring home a feed of flathead. And you're still up north. When are you coming back, Brenno?
Yeah, I'm about to jump on a plane, so apologies if I do sound a little bit echoey this morning, but I am in a hotel room up in Sydney at the moment, Blair. But yes, back on the plane this morning, and I've got my brother-in-law's 40th birthday tonight. Oh, so happy birthday to Craig. Looking forward to having a few beers tonight.
Yes, happy birthday, Craig. And just a special shout out to Ricky Ponting, actually. Did you see that, Breno? He was commentating for Channel 7.
Yeah.
Channel 7. He left the studio. He was unwell. We wish him well. But I am fascinated by by him as a commentator. He is the best I've seen, I reckon. His commentating skills, where he'll say something, like he'll say something like the bowler's trying to set this up, or look at Steve Smith's batting stance, and whatever he says happens the next ball. It is unbelievable.
Yep.
So all the best, Ricky, yep. And I'm sure, and I will see him back in the commentary box soon.
Absolutely. Shane Warne was very good at that too, wasn't he, predicting the outcomes of what he said. So, I love watching him too. Couldn't agree more. Thanks for your company this morning. Thanks very much to Jono for pushing the buttons back in the studio
well done,
and taking
Jono.
Blair under control. We'll be back next Saturday morning for more fun and frivolity here on the Water Boys. Have a great weekend, everyone.
Calling full-time on 7HOFM's Water Boys. They'll be kicking goals again Saturday morning from 8, 101.7 7HOFM, 100% Hobart.